Longer ago than he'd care to admit, NPR's Peter Breslow spent a couple of years wandering through South America. He began his travels in Ecuador, a country that back then was rarely reported on, but lately has been much in the news, what with an oil spill in the Galapagos Islands, the kidnapping of American oil workers, and the U.S. military's establishing a presence there to help with the drug war in neighboring Colombia. Not long ago, Peter Breslow made his first return visit to Ecuador.
I was expecting it to be the smell of the eucalyptus trees, or perhaps a glimpse of Mount Cotopaxi that would instantly evoke my salad days in Quito. But actually, it was a single voice that was the trigger. Early every morning, the nasal drone of women selling lottery tickets or the newspaper El Comercio would cut through the walls of my apartment four flights up and roust me out of bed. Back then, I didn't need an alarm clock to arrive on time for my job as a student teacher at the American school in Quito. On this day, though, I'm wide awake in the old part of town, in the central plaza, where the women still drone and the little kids still scamper up to shine your shoes.
¿Cómo están trabajo?
Bien.
¿Sí? ¿Cuánto vale esto?
10 centavos.
Business was good, he said. 10 cents a shine. Earlier in the morning, 8-year-old Fausto had buffed my shoes bright. Looking up from his shoeshine kit as his hands flew, he told me he was hungry, that he had no mother and father, that he slept on the street. When I told him I was an American, he said his price was a dollar. That's what Ecuadorians use now, the dollar. In hopes of fiscal stability, they've replaced their currency, the sucre. So far, the only people the plan seems to be benefiting are the counterfeiters. The economy is still in shambles. And during my visit, angry students and indigenous groups marched through the streets to protest austerity measures. The government ended up declaring a state of emergency. Still, the capital, sitting at 9,300 feet, looked great. It was so much cleaner and more modern now. Gone was the Andino, a Fred Flintstone-like Ecuadorian automobile that appeared to be made out of cardboard. Also absent were all the bedraggled, smoke-belching buses, so overcrowded during rush hour, people would hang outside them from the windows.
Now they got nifty, enclosed bus stops, electric buses, crosswalks that chirp at you.
But along with the niceties comes the inevitable Starbuckification of Quito. Multiplexes, mega malls, TGI Fridays, and Taco Bell are all there, along with cyber cafes where backpackers along the Gringo Trail that still winds through South America can instantly email fretting parents back home, instead of sending the occasional postcard as I did way back when. What hasn't changed in Quito are the guys playing cocos in the park. It's kind of an adult version of marbles. Competitors heave solid metal balls about 2 inches in diameter into a huge circle drawn in the dirt, trying to knock their opponents out of position.
¿Qué pasó?
Botó al coco.
Sí.
No le dio al coco, pero le pegó a la bola allá.
Jaime Alvarez, who's been coming to watch cocos players in Ejido Park for 40 years, explained the history of this particularly Ecuadorian game. In the old days, he says, they used to play with small coconuts, hence the name. He says in a country with such a poorly functioning political structure and pitiful economy, cocos offers a nice diversion. You invest just a little and get a lot out of it. From Ejido Park, you can glance up and see Ruku Pichincha looming 14,000 feet, brown and bare, hemming in the western edge of the city. I used to walk out the door of my apartment and just head up the street to climb this peak. Volcanoes are the reason a lot of adventurous travelers come to Ecuador. Cotopaxi, Cayambe, Antisana, Ilinisa, Chimborazo, Cotacachi, Tungurahua, Imbabura. Some of these peaks you can see right from town on a clear day, especially Cotopaxi.
Hiking up to about 13,000 or so feet on the flanks of Cotopaxi, looking up at the almost perfect glaciated cone that is the world's highest active volcano, 19,700 something feet, which I climbed 25 years ago, but don't think I could do it today.
If summoning Cotopaxi was my proudest moment in Ecuador, passing out at the U.S. ambassador's New Year's Eve party were certainly my most pathetic. I had been invited to the black tie affair because the ambassador's son was one of my students, and his daughter, coming down from college in Boston, needed a date. As my formal wear consisted of a flannel shirt and some hiking boots, the ambassador offered to lend me a tuxedo and a pair of wingtips for the party.
¿Dónde está la residencia del ambassador americano?
Today, it was time to revisit the ambassador's house, recount the full story, and recall the full extent of my humiliation. A couple of days before the event, I had gone up to the residence to borrow my outfit. The ambassador wasn't home, so a servant showed me to his closet where several tuxedos hung. I grabbed one, a pair of shoes, and went home. Turns out I picked the wrong suit, the ambassador's best tuxedo, the one he'd planned to wear. So on New Year's Eve, as the other guests were arriving, I was walking into the ambassador's bedroom, where the ambassador himself anxiously greeted me in his red-striped boxer shorts and black socks just below the knees. After he changed into his rightful tuxedo, and I put on another, less elegant one, I thought my mortification was over. It was not. During the course of the evening, the champagne flowed a bit too freely for a nervous novice of diplomatic functions. What I can recall is launching the ambassador's daughter across the dance floor, and then, around 3 a.m., waking up alone on a couch in a completely darkened mansion. I tiptoed out the door and stumbled home through the empty streets of Quito in the ambassador's wingtips. I was not invited back.
Buenas tardes. Aquí es la residencia del ambassador.
Sí, señor.
Ah.
But today, on my last stop in Quito, I was returning 25 years later to the scene of my shame. I asked the guards at the front gate if perhaps they had heard the one about the college kid who made a fool of himself here a long time ago.
National Public Radio. Radio Público Nacional.
They hadn't, or so they said, and they asked me to leave immediately. It was then that I wondered if, just maybe, a couple of decades before, the ambassador had left word that had been passed down over the years. If this guy shows up at the front gate, don't let him in. Peter Breslow, NPR News, Quito, Ecuador.